The University of New England in Armidale this week has scored the cover of the journal Nature with a fossil bearing beady eyes. It's one of those weird creatures from a site at Kangaroo Island, often likened to the Burgess Shale in Canada, where seemingly very different animals in a failed experiment in evolution flourished and then died. Jean-Bernard Caron curates fossils at the Royal Ontario Museum in Canada and has helped David Attenborough film the shale.
Well, the Burgess Shale is an exceptional fossil deposit located in British Columbia in Yeo National Park. It is exceptional for the preservation of creatures that used to live in the seas about 500 million years ago.
And how extensive? You say it's very large. What's the scale?
There are tens of thousands of specimens that have been collected so far, and there are certainly millions of them still in the mountains to be discovered in the future.
You mean people are still working excavating as we speak?
There are several sites, and the last expedition was last summer.
Now, it was first discovered, was it not, in 1909, so you've just passed the centenary of that momentous occasion.
That's correct. The main site was discovered 100 years ago, but the early fossils were discovered in the 19th century when Canada decided to build a railroad. And some workers found some fossils at the time, which attracted eventually the interest of American paleontologist Charles Walcott, who discovered another site in 1909, which is now famous and it's called Burgess Shale.
We, by the way, have got what we call our equivalent of the Burgess Shale on Kangaroo Island in South Australia. Do you know about that?
I know the site, not personally. I have not visited the site, but I know the fossils have been discovered there. They are exceptionally well preserved as well, with preservations of tissues, things that don't usually preserve in normal circumstances. And I know the abundance of fossils is also exceptional there.
So here we have a gigantic collection of ancient fossils, that's, as you say, half a billion years old, with many, many, many specimens. And how many do you have actually here at the museum, the ROM in Toronto?
It is about 150,000 specimens in our collections.
150,000?
Absolutely, and that's on top of the 65,000 specimens collected by Charles Walcott, which are now at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington.
And do you work on all of them yourself?
Well, no. I do know many of them, but it's a huge task. And some of them are very rare, only a few specimens are known. Others are really abundant.
I've got some pictures of the specimens in front of me, and they look glorious. They've got all sorts of amazing shapes and size. As you say, many of them have got their soft parts preserved in the stone. What are the two we're looking at here?
So the one on the left is called Hallucigenia sparsa, and this is a small worm-like organism with pairs of legs and spiky elements on the dorsal surface.
Yeah, it looks like a piece of barbed wire.
That's right. And this particular animal was named Hallucigenia by Simon Connemaris from Cambridge because of its very strange appearance. Its very elongated body, extremely skinny legs, and very spiky spines on the dorsal surface. Very strange. Altogether, the animal is no longer than a fingernail. It's very small, but very alien-like. Now we believe this creature is related to a group called the Onychophoran. And there are some Onychophorans still alive today, and in particular in Australia.
Yeah, Hallucigenia, you're having a sort of complete dreamlike sequence, you know.
Which at the time was interpreted upside down, walking on the spines. And it is only later that the second rows of legs were discovered by doing small excavations of the fossils.
Hallucigenic. Well, it's weird. And the other one is looks like a fish with a million scales and spikes coming off it, as if it's like a cross between a fish and a hedgehog.
Yes, this fossil called Canadia spinosa is a very strange creature as well. It's a worm-like animal, and it's about 2 or 3 centimeters long in total. And it is related to a group called the annelids, the polychaetes. The long spinous elements on the dorsal surface of the body are actually called setae. They are used for the animal to swim. And yeah, it looks very reflective.
So not a fish, but a worm. This Burgess Shale was made famous by Stephen Jay Gould in a book called Wonderful Life, and he was suggesting that the great abundance showed how experiments were happening in nature. And if you re-ran the film of this kind of evolution and you had different circumstances, you would not necessarily have the same sort of animals, but completely different ones. And there's been some controversy about that interpretation. How do you stand on looking at what Stephen Jay Gould wrote in that book?
Well, Stephen Jay Gould supported his ideas based on the interpretation of the fossils. The different paleontologists were puzzled. They couldn't fit these organisms into known modern groups of animals, and they were left in a vacuum. We didn't know how to classify them. So Gould suggested that these unclassifiable organisms represented unique body plans. In other words, a collection of different organisms in the Cambrian suggested that there was more diversity across body plans than previously understood. Today, this interpretation has been challenged by the discovery of new fossils, not only on the Burgess Shale, but also in China, in Australia, the Emu Bay Shale, which represent a similar type of community all across the world with similar type of organisms, with more species, more specimens. We're able to better understand these particular oddballs that Gould mentioned. Now, the new interpretations of these fossils allow us to understand them not as unique body plans, but as part of the animal groups that we know today, probably during their evolution, so early stages of body plan that are still represented today.
So it's a variation on the expected rather than something totally different and totally weird.
That's correct for most of the weird wonders described by Gould in Wonderful Life. There are a few exceptions, things we still don't understand. That may be for various reasons. One, because the fossils are too rare, so we don't have enough specimens to understand the morphology correctly, or simply because they are still very difficult to understand or to interpret. So maybe new fossils will allow us to better understand this group. I can give you an example. It's an organism called Nectocharis pteryx from the Burgess Shale. It was known from a single specimen, and it was described in the 1970s as an oddball, a mix between an arthropod and a chordate. We didn't really know what it was, and Gould suggested that was a unique body plan. Well, through excavations, in particular by the Royal Anatomical Museum in the 1990s, we discovered dozens of new specimens, but with dozens of specimens, we were able to better understand the morphology. With specimens preserved in various angles in the shell, and that allow us to actually connect this particular organism to the mollusk, to the cephalopods, but also we compared this material with fossils were found in China and in Australia at Emu Bay Shale, and we connected three different species to the same group of early cephalopods. So that gives you an example where not only new discoveries in the Burgess Shale help, but also new discoveries elsewhere help to understand a particular organism.
The renowned Jean-Bernard Caron, who's curator of invertebrate paleontology at the Royal Ontario Museum in Canada. And you can see those astounding specimens, such as Hallucigenia, by going to the ROM website. A link is shown on our own ABC Science Show website.